Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the blessed opportunity you've given us to be able to gather in your house on such a beautiful day as part of your family and to be able to get into your word and study some of this to be able to draw close to you through it. And please open our hearts and minds so we can receive that message you want us to receive and encourage us to go out and share it with others. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Coming up in a few days will be the celebration of the Ascension of Jesus Christ. Ascension Day of Jesus Christ, the day that he ascended up to heaven to sit on the right hand of the Father, our great high priest, and mediator for us. We see these accounts recorded in the Gospels as well as in the book of Acts. Acts has an excellent account of this. So turn to Acts in chapter 1 and let's read this. Now this occurred some 40 days after his resurrection. In Acts chapter 1 it reads, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." I love that statement, by many infallible proofs. "Being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." That being baptized by the Holy Ghost is being totally enveloped by the Holy Ghost. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" They were not in full understanding of the fulfillment of the prophecies and the order of the prophecies of what was going to happen next. And he teaches them a little bit here in the statement. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." There are things that he has not revealed to the apostles and he has not revealed to us, such as the exact date and timeline of the prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. His coming back and the tribulation time, the millennial kingdom, and the eternal state, and so forth. We don't have the exact date of the next major prophetic event that is to take place. As he continues, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let them know they're going to be indwelt with the Holy Ghost and they are going to get busy spreading the gospel. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Taken up, caught up, raptured, basically. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Telling them he's coming back. All right, let's look at the accounts of his ascension in Mark chapter 16. Pick it up in verse 15. Reads, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's that great commission that he just mentioned over in Acts. Here again, reads, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So Then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. All right, let's look at one more account of this over in Luke, the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. These things that unfolded right at his ascension. Pick it up in verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He's talking about the Holy Ghost, just like we've seen recorded over there in the book of Acts. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Caught up into the heavens. Caught up to be on the right hand of the Father, our high priest, the mediator for us, and given us that promise that he's going to come back and get us as well. As we see this promise emphasized over in the Gospel of John in chapter 14. Where he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. To be with Jesus Christ, to be with him for eternity, to be like Jesus Christ. He tells us that in his word, that he will allow us that are his to be like him and to be with him for eternity. Wherever he is, however he is, he's going to let us to join in with that. And that is so awesome. We will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. This coming back and receiving us to be with him is also spoke of over in Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we speak of the rapture. The word rapture is actually found in the Latin Vulgate. It's a transliteration of a word found in the Latin Vulgate, and it means to be caught up or to be taken up. As we see in Jesus Christ being taken up on Ascension Day, and it's stated that he's going to come back and get us and catch us up to be with him. So what they saw, what they witnessed, is going to happen again, because we are all going to be able to be caught up that are still on the earth when he comes back in this event that we read about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, picking it up in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. This hope that he speaks of is a confidence. Those that have no hope is they have no confidence in what their eternity is going to be like. But a truly born-again Christian has the confidence of knowing what they have to look forward to for eternity. And that hope is that confident anticipation of the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies of God. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So the event that he's talking about here, the way it's unfolding, is when the Lord comes back to rapture his children to be with him, he will bring the souls of those that have passed away prior to this event. And in verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. This word prevent can also be translated as precede, before. So those that are already passed away at the moment of this event are going to receive their glorified body before the rest of us. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice, in the clouds and in the air. At this time, when the Lord comes back, he's not coming all the way back down and touching down on the earth. He's coming into this clouds, bringing those souls, sending those souls down. They're going to receive their glorified body. Then all the rest of them that are alive at the time will receive their glorified body. Everyone's going to ascend up to be with the Lord and go from there on to judgment and so many other things that they have looked forward to, the judgment seat of Christ and the supper of the Lamb and so forth that will be going on. Wow. All kinds of stuff breaks loose down here, the Battle of Gog and Magog, the tribulation time, and so forth. But don't mistake in this for what some people call the second coming. The second coming is when the Lord comes down and establishes the millennial kingdom at the end of the tribulation time. But the rapture is going to take place prior to that event. But that is so awesome. And the promises that he made, the promises about receiving a indwelling spirit. He told them this as well prior to his crucifixion in John chapter 4 again in verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. This is to anyone and everyone. If we love him, keep his commandments. And we know those two great commandments. Basically, it says to love God with all your existence and love others as yourself. Reason, if ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The comforter that is with us forever. Do we always listen to him? Do we always yield to him? No. Sometimes we get ourselves all mixed up in our own heads, and we get confused, or we pull back, and we get discomforted. We get saddened. We get depressed. We get upset. But we know that there's a comforter available if we just latch on to him and listen to him. The comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice, the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And that is so awesome that he has provided that for us. Because I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Here he was giving them a bit of prophecy, talking about his crucifixion. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's speaking of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ. For he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That statement right there in verse 26 gives us the confidence of the letters that are written by the apostles that we have in the New Testament to be able to study. The confidence of knowing that they are inspired by the Word of God. They are inspired by the speaking, the Word, the actual communication from God given to them. As it continues, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He repeated that, let not your heart be troubled. neither let it be afraid. We see some of the awful things that are going on around the world today. We see the horrible events that are unfolding in the Middle East and here in these universities, so-called centers of higher learning, but you really doubt that these days, that are going crazy. And we see the increase of horrible things around the world. And it might get you afraid. It might get you worried. It tells us, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So don't be afraid of all that. There are things that have to be fulfilled. And some of these are the great falling away, and we truly see a great falling away. But at the same time, we see a great movement toward the Lord. There are records of thousands of people coming in and being saved and being baptized in the last year. So it's amazing. It's amazing how the Lord works. But this indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost was given to the apostles. Actually, it was given to 120 people at one time. And it took place 10 days after the Lord ascended up to heaven. And we see the record of that in Acts chapter 2. Where it reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," Penta being 50, Pentecost, it was 50 days after the Passover. It reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" That was a miracle. That was the gift of tongues. That was a gift given to them specifically to be able to preach the gospel to people that could not understand their language. So he gave them the blessing to speak in the other people's language and be able to spread the gospel. That's the purpose of speaking in tongues, other languages. So people that have been given this blessed opportunity use that for the spreading of the gospel. Given to them in a special way, and the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost given to them in a special way as well. But after this event of these 120 being given this blessing of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, there was a short period of time there where the apostles would go out and could lay hands on those that were believers and they would receive the Holy Ghost. Now, after the apostles had done their work, anyone and everyone who comes to know the Lord instantly receives the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Today, when we trust in the Lord, we automatically receive the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost. That is the earnest, which means the down payment of what we have to look forward to for eternity. So we have that coming to us, given to us, the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and then we are linked together with God, continuously being linked together with Him. Even when we fall away, even when we backslide, we still have the Holy Ghost there within us, communicating on our behalf, as it tells us in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, pick it up in verse 26 here. Of course, this is a letter to the church at Rome by Paul, teaching them about the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit..." Now the Spirit here is talking about the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That is so comforting right there, to know that even when we don't have sense enough to pray in the proper way, that the Holy Ghost is in us doing it right. I've heard people say you have to speak the word in a specific way and you have to be accurate and only way it's going to happen. And then only say it once, because if you say it twice, then that shows your doubt and you won't get what you're asking for. Then you're double-minded. You have to speak it in a specific way. It's like you're some kind of a witch and you got to have the spell, and you got to have the spell just right. That's silly. As he clearly tells us here, sometimes we ain't got sense enough to pray properly, but he knows that, we know that the Holy Ghost is in us and doing it right on our behalf. Read that again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Our infirmities, our problems. Whether our problem is a lack of faith, a problem of lack of trust, lack of understanding or boldness, or whether we need healing, whatever. The Holy Ghost is in there doing it right all the time. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We cannot say what in the same manner that the Holy Ghost speaks. We cannot speak like that. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, that's one of the key things there. The Holy Ghost is in there praying for us, communicating directly to the Heavenly Father on our behalf in the will of the Heavenly Father. Sometimes we go to the Lord and pray for things that are outside of his will. We shouldn't be doing that, but the Holy Ghost is doing it right. So we can take comfort in that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This one here confuses some people. Some people look at that and they think, okay, everything's going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be nice and pleasant and enjoyable once you become a Christian. No way. But we know here it tells us that it will work out for a good. Even the horrible, torturous treatments of persecution have worked out for a benefit. You might wonder how or why. And if you're going through something right now, persecution, we have people that are currently being held captive by the Hamas, and many of those that have been taken captive have already died, horribly being tortured and treated. Is that good for them? No. But it will work out for a good. Can we understand it all the time? No. We can't even begin to comprehend all the things that are going on. We just got to trust in the Lord and trust in his word. And he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There's a purpose behind it. There's a purpose for our suffering. There's a purpose for our blessings. There's a purpose for it all. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. It's been pre-planned that we'd all strive to be like Jesus Christ, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. Justified, that means found us innocent, washed us clean. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's why we can be comforted. That's why we can be fearless. He has indwelt us with the Holy Ghost. He has given us the Comforter. And just like he said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't have to be troubled. We don't have to be afraid. And he gave us that awesome example of ascending up to the Father. And we are going to be doing the same thing as we read over in 1 Thessalonians. And we know this is going to be happening so quick. As he says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is speaking of the event that we read earlier in Thessalonians, the rapture. Us becoming glorious, a glorified body, and being caught up. And it's going to happen quicker than a blink of an eye. Because it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Continue doing a work. After all, that's why we are still here. That's why we have all remained after becoming born again. Otherwise, he would save us and then immediately take us up. But no, he leaves us here. It gives us an opportunity to bring him honor and glory and to do a work to help others and to help ourselves. And if we are risen with Christ, which means you're born again, we need to follow the guidelines that are given to us by the apostles, recorded from the inspired word of God given to them, as we see in Colossians, a letter of Paul written to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, we are born again, therefore we are risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So now, after that ascension that we read about in Acts, Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This is a problem that a lot of people have. Their focus is on the earth. Their focus is on materialism. Their focus is on their plans rather than God's plans. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Dead, meaning separated. We're separated from the world. We're separated from the flesh. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We talk about that a lot, that wrath of God that comes upon the children of disobedience. As the Christians or the non-Christians, you become disobedient, you're going to feel the wrath of God. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, reminding us where we came from. But now ye also put off all these. Now he gets to describing the behavior, a way a Christian should act all the time, dealing with everybody in any situation that you find yourself in. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, all the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. We talk about that meekness a lot. Meekness is not being a wimp. Meekness is having power under control. Having the knowledge of knowing how much you can influence someone else's life and controlling your behavior to benefit that other individual. That's meekness, controlling yourself. Long-suffering, it means patience, forbearing one another, always thinking about someone else. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Sometimes that can be tough when somebody is persecuting you in the midst of something, or they have done something to you or a family member. Carrying around that grudge hurts you more than it does them. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is a sincere concern for someone else's well-being. Not just giving donations. It's a sincere concern. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That's something right there that I see displayed most of all is unthankfulness. People that are unthankful for what the Lord has blessed them with. It's a shame, but it's a lot of that goes on. They're unthankful for their body. They're unthankful for the blessings. They're unthankful for their prosperity. They're wasting it. They're trashing it. They're destroying it. They're abusing it. Unthankful. You're not going to benefit from that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's why we get together in church, to communicate with each other, communicating together, coming together in harmony to reach up to the Lord and praise the Lord with these songs and so forth. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Giving thanks. Being ready at any moment for you to be raptured up, for you to ascend up, for the rapture to occur, or for you to leave this world. We need to always be ready. Be ready because we don't know how much more time we have. And we need to be, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. In peace, without spot and blameless. Like it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So do that very thing. Get cleansed from all unrighteousness. Separate yourself from the worldly things. Bring in the godly things, bring honor and glory to the Lord, love others, be forgiving, and be looking forward to the day of ascension that we will all be a part of. To ascend up, to be with the Father, to be with the Lord, to be like the Lord, and be looking forward to oh so much for eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we truly thank you for what you've given us, for what you've recorded for us to be able to study. We truly, truly thank you for your word. And help us always to have that hunger, to dig in there, to find that message you want us to receive, and encourage us to go out and share that with others. This world seems to be getting darker and darker, but help us realize that the light that you can shine through us can even have that much more influence in this dark world. Give us that courage to open up and let that light shine and to share your love. Thank you oh so much for it all, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.